From WNYC New York Public Radio, I'm Leonard Lopate. This is just one segment of the Leonard Lopate Show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 888-779-OPEN or open.com.
You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
You might expect a book called Alligator to be set in the Everglades, but Lisa Moore's first novel actually takes place in St. John's, Newfoundland. And Alligator, which is published by Black Cat, an imprint of Grove Atlantic, has been quite a sensation in Canada. It was chosen Book of the Year by the Globe and Mail and also received the Commonwealth Writers' Prize. And I'm very pleased that it has brought Lisa Moore to my show today. Hello.
Hi, Leonard.
Now, this book opens with a detailed description of an alligator handler putting on a show in a documentary film, and he inadvertently provokes the animal. It's a haunting image. Have you actually ever seen something like that?
Yes, I went on a driving tour of the southern states with my husband in 2000, and we went to an alligator farm, and it was an amazing thing to see those animals in the wild. You know, we rode on one of those boats that kind of flies over the air, and then we sat very still, and I was very, very close to this big, absolutely still, amazingly ugly and beautiful beast. And I was overwhelmed by it, and the guide in the boat very quietly said, "Ma'am, can you put your elbow back in the boat, please?" So it was I just knew it was an image that I wanted to work with.
But that was a southern U.S. state, not a southern Canadian state. Are there alligators in Canada other than in zoos?
No. And Newfoundland is an island on the east coast of Canada, and it's just on the edge of the Arctic Rim. And so it's very cold, but it's a place where literature is taking off right now. There's been a kind of boom in writing from Newfoundland, and it's really exciting, interesting stuff.
Any idea of why? Because Canada has a very, very respectable literary tradition. Some of the finest writers live in Toronto or elsewhere, but not Newfoundland.
Well, Newfoundlanders are great storytellers, and we've always written. You know, there's always been writing, but it really didn't leave the island very much. People were content to write for each other, I think, and the rest of Canada wasn't somehow that interested, I think.
Well, they used to make fun of Newfies.
That's right.
We hope they don't do that anymore.
We don't care too much. It would be nice for them if they've matured and don't do that.
Well, this follows a collection of short stories. You also write a column for one of the newspapers. So had you been thinking about writing a novel all along, or did this just kind of grow out of the other stuff?
I went to art school. That's how I began working as an artist. And I would do big, big paintings. I would have to sort of stretch on my tiptoes to get to the top of the canvas. And I love short stories, but I wanted to try something that I wasn't sure I could do. And I liked the idea of a big canvas, which is what a novel is, you know. You can stretch all over the place.
Although this, in some ways, is like short stories, a collection of short stories, because each chapter is named after the character whose experiences are described in it. And that way we understand who the third person character is. Otherwise, it might be confusing because she or he. But also, it allows you to give us a kind of a Rashomon perspective on certain events. Different people have experienced them differently, haven't they?
Yes, I really wanted to create a portrait of this city, St. John's, which I think is a really interesting city. And I was thinking about, you know, Cézanne's paintings of oranges. And those are cubism. So you can see like a bowl of oranges from all the sides at once. You see it from the back and above and below. And I wanted to show the city that way. That was sort of the metaphor that was in the back of my mind when I was working on the form of this novel. And also I sort of wanted to sidestep the whole idea of genre and see if there was a way to make something that, you know, didn't fit easily into either category. Not always kind of sidestep what the reader is expecting.
And one of the reviews is called this North Atlantic Gothic. The Gothic aspect is important. There's a lot of ghoulish stuff here. We have Colleen, the girl who watched the alligator movie, going to the internet for all kinds of strange things. I've known about bum fights, which strikes me as one of the most terrible things that anybody's come up with. But are there really such things as emu hunts?
Yes, there are. This is a where people go on the internet and shoot animals with their, I guess, keyboards, and then have the animals sent via PayPal.
She's also downloading images of beheadings, and you can find those things on the internet?
I don't know if you actually can, but it seems to me that the kind of thing that you might be able to find. Again, the novel, as you've said, is from a whole bunch of different perspectives. And in a way, I think that's the kind of world our children are inheriting. You know, it's the information highway splinters information and gives it to us in a kind of prismatic form. And we're led to believe, whether it's true or not, that all information is available.
St. John's is also a destination for cruise ships that let off their passengers for a day or so. How does that affect a town like St. John's?
Well, you know, it means that culture and tourism enter into a kind of codependency. And I use that term with all the sort of negative implications that it can hold. And it can be a stranglehold. I think tourism can calcify culture and make it, you know, unmoving, and culture is most interesting when it's in flux.
But of course, the tourists have no idea what's going on in town.
No, and I think this happens all over the world. You know, where the fishery in Newfoundland has died off, so you put a guy in an old yellow slicker and rubber boots and have him standing next to a bunch of fake fish and probably playing a fiddle, and it's heartbreaking.
What's a pine marten?
It's sort of, I guess, vaguely like a squirrel, and they're indigenous to Newfoundland, and they're about to be, they're dying off.
Because of the encroachment of humans, or because of changes in the environment with global warming, I suspect Newfoundland is going to change in a lot of ways in the future.
Yes, I think it's because of forestry. You know, their environment is being destroyed.
And you have a developer in the book who says he's going to make sure it'll happen.
Well, I think he's joking. he's being slightly provocative.
You've created a wide range of characters here, which must have been a lot of fun getting into all their different heads. Are they based on people you know in St. John's?
Some of them are. I know of a filmmaker who is a woman about Madeline's age, who is a great storyteller, and you know, just a very alive woman. And she was a huge inspiration to me. And of course, she's very different from Madeline as well. But just the desire to create art and the drive and the passion, all of that, I think, was inspired by that woman. But Frank, who is a favorite character of mine in this book, a young boy who's recently orphaned while he's 19 and just struggling to make his way in the world with a hot dog stand, he came out of nowhere. And I used to wake up in the morning while I was writing this novel and think, oh, is he okay? And then I'd have to go, oh, he's just a literary character. Don't worry, he's not real. But It was a surprise to me because I've never had that happen before.
What, that a character suddenly became that real for you?
And also that I have no way of tracing where he came from. He is not like anybody I know.
Many of the characters have emotionally fraught relationships with money. What does money mean in terms of human relationships?
Well, I think that this book is really a book about survival in a lot of ways. And also, you know, the alligator is there because it's an animal that will kill instinctively and survives that way. But as
a lot better than a pine marten is prepared to survive.
Yes, and but it's built to, and it's not evil when an alligator, you know, kills something and eats it. But as humans, of course, we have choice. And I was just interested in when we're willing to break rules that we know are, you know, go against what it means to be human in order to survive. When is that okay and when is it not?
Well, there's a lot of theft here. I don't know if it's all for survival, but the people seem to be robbing all over the place and getting a lot of satisfaction from it.
Well, yes, but also some of it is about survival, I think. And some of that theft is about trying to find your way in the world rather than about the actual money.
I'm sure you are very pleased by the kind of response this has gotten. Bestseller in Canada, given a number of awards. Do you have any idea of why it's resonated in other parts of the country?
No. All I know is
because it seems to be such a big gap between Toronto. Well, let's go to the West Coast there, and then the center of Canada, and then Newfoundland is like another place again, and yet. Is there a Canadian sense of, well, she's one of ours?
Oh, I yes, I think so. You know, Newfoundland was its own country until 1949. We had our own currency. We have a Newfoundland dictionary, our own flag. And so in many ways, Newfoundlanders feel like we are separate from Canada. But Canada gave us such riches when we joined. So... it's an interesting relationship we have with the rest of the country.
I didn't realize it was that late in the late 40s. Wow.
Yeah.
Could Newfoundland survive without being attached to Canada?
Well, you know, I've recently been to Iceland, and Iceland and Newfoundland are both islands in the middle of the North Atlantic, and we in fact started off with more resources than Iceland. And Iceland is one of the richest countries in the world, and it's partly because they were so absolutely militant about protecting their cod fishery, which we didn't do. And so I think we could have survived, and we have huge stores of oil off the coast of Newfoundland. And if that gets developed properly, we'll, you know, the country will be another emerald tiger, I think.
And maybe you'll become independent again.
Maybe.
Meanwhile, we have the first novel from Lisa Moore, although I'm assuming there'll be more novels, or is it?
Yes, I'm
still writing short stories?
I am, but I'm working on a novel.
This one is Alligator, and it's published in this country by Black Cat, which is an imprint of Grove Atlantic. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Leonard Lopate Show from WNYC, New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.